The Marketing Review.
With Cambridge Marketing Colleges. Visit marketingcollege.com to see our courses.
Hello and welcome to The Marketing Review with Cambridge Marketing Colleges. I'm Kiran Kapoor. Coming up on today's show, we look at how to handle journalists. Our Jargon Buster looks at the drip theory of marketing communications, and we continue our series on entrepreneurialism, this time looking at how to create an idea for a business.
The Marketing Review from Star Radio.
So I'm joined by Alison Thomas, PR guru extraordinaire, and I've asked Alison to talk about how to handle journalists, the media, the press, and get the most out of them, perhaps give some publicity to your company, your business, or even yourself. I mean, a lot of us are our own businesses now. So, Alison, could you sort of talk about how you even start contacting the media, the press?
Yes, Kiran, it's a big question that, really. If we decide that we want to really get something into the media, it sounds like such an easy thing to do, doesn't it? But actually, we're not in control of that. And this is the frustrating thing as far as the journalists and the press are concerned, really, that really what we're trying to do is influence and persuade them to tell our stories. And it's very important, you know, part of the communication mix that we have. We tell our stories in various different ways on social media and in advertising. But in terms of PR, and especially using the media, we're now handing control over to the journalist. So really it's about influencing and persuading them. The first thing that I would recommend really is making sure that we prepare well, by which I mean let's start to think about what does the journalist want to print? What does the journalist want to broadcast? If we put ourselves in their shoes, then we're going to get it absolutely right. And think about really what they want to say to their audience. So for example, if we're a small business, our story may be about us moving premises. From the journalist's point of view, the newspaper or a magazine or a radio station, it's, well, yeah, so what? So when we're actually doing our preparation, we need to think of a really good story. What's the angle that is going to be interesting for the readers or the listeners or the viewers of that particular media? It's not necessarily about what we want to say ourselves. It's about dressing that message up in a way that's going to be interesting to the end audience. If it's interesting to the end audience, the journalist and the media are going to be interested in telling that story.
So this is on lines of when the radio show restarted its second season, we managed to get coverage in Business Weekly, not because we got a second season of the radio show, but because it was something covering marketing, which their readers might find interesting.
Absolutely. It's about making sure that the people who are going to be listening to the show are going to get some value out of it. So it's not just about Cambridge Marketing College. It's about what messages, what information, what details can we tell a business that's going to be important for them.
So how do you actually contact the media? Is it a press release?
Well, there's different ways we can do that. I mean, the traditional way of doing it is a press release. Now, the key thing here is, well, who do we actually talk to in the media? How do we decide where we're going to send it? How do we decide who we're going to send it to? If we're in a regional situation, like many small businesses are, they operate in a particular town or an East Anglian region, for example, a regional basis, then they're probably going to know the media around them. They know who the local newspaper is, because they probably have bought it at some point in time. They know which programmes they watch on television because they sit down and watch them when they're sitting there in the evening. So in that case, they probably have an awareness of the particular media they need to contact. That's fine in terms of knowing the name of the Cambridge Evening News, but who in the Cambridge Evening News do you need to actually speak to? And that's starting to get a little bit harder to get that information. What we need to look at is, first of all, identifying that media, like I've just done there with the Cambridge Evening News, for example, but then making sure that we contact the right person. In simple terms, that would be quite straightforward. We would be able to ring the newspaper up and probably get given the information. But say we've got a campaign that is going to be running nationwide, we may not be able to ring everybody up because we don't have the telephone numbers. Now, what PR people tend to use are certain databases within the industry that holds this information on the media, and they would tap into it and get the information of the name and the contact number and the email address and be able to contact them. But the probability is a small business isn't going to have that because they're going to have to pay for a big database they may not actually use. So really the best way of doing it is probably using the internet, getting the main numbers, ringing up and finding out the person's name and email address.
Is it also a question of perhaps looking at the people that you yourself follow and read and are interested in?
Sure, absolutely. If you're reading the Cambridge Evening News and you're avidly looking at what your competitors do, you're probably aware of which journalist is actually reporting on them. So you've already got a starting point there, you have a name. Now, most websites would actually also have contact details for that particular journalist as well now. They're trying to make it a lot easier for people, the public and small businesses, to contact them directly, simply because we're actually all newsworthy news storytellers, aren't we? So that makes it, that barrier is actually less now by actually going on and providing information. So find out the names and then just contact directly.
Okay, so I've got the story that I've got a new product out or something that I think people might be interested. It's for Cambridge Air. If you've got a new technology, that always goes down very well. There's a lot of interest in that. So I send out my press release. I send an email.
Yes, you've mentioned the press release there, and that's a really important tool for us. So we know what we're going to say. You've just mentioned there about, you know, for example, we may have a story that we have to tell about our radio show. What we'll then do is put it into a format that is going to be acceptable for the journalist to receive. If we have it in a format that they are going to take and be able to use immediately, we've got far more chance of them taking that story and actually putting it out there for us. So a press release is a very good way of doing that. In simple terms, that's basically putting it into a written format that tells the story in a certain way, that gives all the information that journalists is going to want to have in there. So where's the event happening, for example, or when's the show going out? Why is it happening? Who's going to be doing it? And then probably also bring it to life with a quote, probably from yourself, Kieran, in that respect. What does Kieran say about it? But also, what does, for example, Star Radio say about the show? So it brings the story to life and tells more about the human angle, which is going to be important from the end result when it actually goes into the newspaper. So we put it into this format that is written in a way that the journalist can instantly use, but it also has all the other information in there within it that they need. For example, which website they need to go to for more information, who do they contact if they need to get some, you know, talk to somebody. And we make it as easy as possible for them to actually extract the information, use it quickly and contact us if they need some more.
And should I be doing press releases regularly? Should I be always looking for stories in the same way perhaps I do for my Twitter feed or for social media?
Yes, the more, of course. If you've got a story, then we want to obviously tell it. But of course, you don't want to just go inventing something for the sake of it. It has to be something that is newsworthy. And when we say newsworthy, it has to have that end result of being interesting to the actual end audience. Use the so what factor. It's no good saying, well, we're moving premises, like we started the conversation there, Kieran. It's like, well, so what? But actually, if we're moving to premises to a brand new premises that's actually going to be using green energy that is at the forefront of, you know, technology, then that starts to become interesting. The fact that it's our premise is actually secondary to that. But the fact is, it's an interesting story and we can get our name out there and we can say it's our building. And so we've done the work, we've put the story out there, we've mentioned ourselves, but we've dressed it up with an angle that is going to be important from the journalist's point of view.
So I think this is something that small businesses can worry about. Do I have to regularly do press releases or can I over-press release? So it seemed to be you can only over-press release if you're not telling a good story.
Yes, absolutely. If you've got a good story and you've got a story every single week, then go out there and say it. Don't hold back. Don't be shy. Don't hold your light under a bushel. Go out there and say it. But don't just make up things that you think, oh, if I go out there regularly with a press release, they'll print it. They won't. It has to have a good angle. It has to be a proper newsworthy story and it has to be presented in the best way possible, the proper formatted way that they're going to receive when they get it.
And we're mainly talking about print media here. Is it slightly different if you're aiming for television or for radio?
No, the process is exactly the same. You would put together your media release and you would send it to the right contact. The key thing there, though, is that you'd probably also want to try and pitch a story to them. You'd want to make it a little bit more colourful and not just rely on the newsworthiness of a release that comes through in a written format. So, for example, you would pick up the phone and you would talk the journalist or the presenter or the broadcaster through that actual story and tell them why they should be saying it, why it should appear on the local news that evening. Give them more information that wouldn't always be available on first reading of a press release.
And would you just pick up the phone straight away? Would you send a press release first and then follow it up?
You can do it either way. Sometimes a journalist would like to be told about something beforehand. The best rule of thumb is to actually try and understand and build relationships with the journalists so that you're actually presenting information in the way that they want to receive it. So if they like to receive an email and they never want to be contacted by phone, then you own the email. Some journalists would prefer to be pitched a story first and then receive the information. I would say the best way of doing it really is to send the press release via email first, so that when you're actually having that conversation, they can open the release in front of them and you can talk them through it. That way you're probably going to get a better result. But of course you've got some potential wasted time there if you're just trying to get it into one media by writing something that they may not be interested in. So if you're only looking at getting something on television, for example, I would suggest you ring them up, have a chat about it first before you waste your time writing the release.
So can you progress from sending out a press release? Do you ever get to this sort of nirvana where the press come to you because perhaps you're an expert or something?
Yes, absolutely. What we're trying to really do is to build up that relationship. Relationship is the key thing with the media. So we're sending out information to them. They're going to then believe that our news releases are worthy, for a start. We have some credibility within the industry for sending it out to them. They know that they're going to get good quality stuff. Then if something comes up where they want an expert, for example, let's say we're an educational establishment and they want an expert to talk about, let's say, marketing on the radio. What we want to do is to get to a stage where the journalist thinks, I know who to speak to, let's pick up that phone, let's email, let's get somebody in who's the expert, and we may very well be invited ourselves to go on the radio and speak about that. So it's a two-way street. We want to be sending information out, but we want to be available or put people up for interview when it's necessary or appropriate.
Now, we know, because we're in a studio environment at the moment, that it can be quite nerve-wracking being asked to do an interview.
Sure.
So when you put someone up for an interview from your company, perhaps a small company, are there pitfalls to worry about?
Absolutely. I mean, you don't want to do that lightly. Whoever you're deciding to actually put up would probably need to have a lot of confidence, first of all, and also, mainly, a lot of knowledge. They need to be credible. It doesn't necessarily need to be somebody who's gone through media training in a formal capacity, but it needs to be somebody who is able to talk about their subject in a lively and interesting way and actually have some credibility around them in terms of actually being able to stand on their own two feet and be able to talk in a confident manner. Preparation is a key in that instance, Kieran. What you want to make sure is that you understand what environment that you're going to go into. So you would want to brief the person who's going to be interviewed accordingly. If they haven't seen a studio before and they're going to be interviewed on the radio, ask to go in a few minutes early so they can acclimatise themselves to that environment. Do some research on who's actually going to be doing the interviewing. What kind of style do they use? Is it a chatty style or is it quite a serious style? And also where the interview is going to be broadcast so that they can get the tone right for that particular programme. If it is about a new product launch and it's just something that's specific to a particular business, then they've probably got a little bit of leeway. But if it's something where they're actually becoming put up as an expert, then they may have to talk on a specific topic. And so any idea about what they're going to be asked beforehand would also be useful.
And what about when you're dealing with a press journalist? I'm speaking as somebody who actually did once say something that I shouldn't have said because I didn't even realise the journalist was listening.
Right.
I was talking to the person next to me and I had a journalist the other side.
Absolutely.
And realised that nothing is actually off the record.
Nothing at all is ever off the record with the media. You have to be careful with everything you say and everything you do because they are there to get that story. That doesn't mean to say that they're trying to trick you. It's not about that. But of course, anything you do say can be taken down and used in evidence against you later. So just be aware of that.
Alison, that was great. Are there any other top tips that we should finish with?
Yeah, I've got one top tip, really, and that's about using photographs. When you sent out your news release, it was really good to actually include a photograph. Photographs bring things to life, don't they? We've all just seen recently the Je suis Charlie demonstrations, how that's made people feel. It's emotive, isn't it? You think about the Fathers for Justice, that's them who dressed up in Batman outfit, didn't he, and went on to Buckingham Palace. That was a few years ago, but that still sticks in my mind and no doubt quite a few of your listeners' mind. It's emotive, it brings something to life, and it also makes sure that actually, if it's going into the press, that they've got something that is actually accompanying words. It always tells a better story. So think about actually putting together a nice, picture, send it out, make sure that it's appropriate, good quality, and it's always captioned so they know exactly what it's about.
Alison, thank you very much for the benefit of your advice. Alison came on the show in season one, show 10, to talk about how to handle crisis situations, and I do recommend that as a listen to that as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alison.
The Marketing Review.
With Cambridge Marketing Colleges. Visit marketingcollege.com to see our courses.